Great. There's a recording. Okay, everybody. Yeah, so this is an article written that I read over the weekend, and I enjoyed it so much because it really hit a home run ball for me and some of the mistakes I've made and some of them that every once in a while when I get lazy about things, I make them again. So I just I want to highlight these two because I think it'll help all of us. It kind of puts us back on track in the right way of thinking about things and maybe, just shifting a little bit because truthfully, as we get into this industry, when we're brand new, we don't know what we're doing. When we're not so new, let's say we were in network marketing before, we tend to come in with some bad habits that they didn't serve us in the last networking company we're in, and you know what? They're going to wreak havoc on you in this one as well, because the one thing you want to make sure that you know, almost every network marketing company that's out there has people that are making a lot of money and have made it big because it's the number one industry. It's produced more millionaires than any other industry in the last 20 years in this country. So the idea is if it's really doing this, if it's really, it works for people, why didn't it work for you? And the idea is, yes, there's some horrible products out there that are in network marketing because there's no barrier to entry for people, deciding they're going to start a network marketing company. In fact, I just read about one the other day that's coming out, and I can hardly believe I won't even mention it, but it was crazy. It was crazy stuff, but it was kind of aimed at the young kids who like crazy stuff, so maybe it'll work with the 18-year-olds, but it wouldn't work with any of us. I guarantee none of us are going to try this product. But the idea is that, because there's no barrier to entry. Anyone can start a network marketing company. You and I could grab five of you out there and say, how would you like to be my vice president of marketing? Okay, you be in charge of this, and we'd start a network marketing company. We just need a product. So there are a lot of crazy products out there that might be a problem with trying to be successful in a networking industry, right? But most of the problems exist with our own personal activity. When you want to isolate why your business isn't growing or why it isn't working, just look at your own personal activity and start shifting. And that's what this call is about. You and I, every one of us, I'm one of these, I love change. I love doing things differently. There are a lot of people in this world that can't stand it. They want to keep the same, do the same thing. Well, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's called insanity. So you want to have better results, and I don't care how great your results are. Last year was the greatest amount of growth I've ever experienced in 1 year in my business. And you know what? It's not enough. I'm satisfied, but I know I'm capable of doing more. I know my organization. I know my people on this call. I know my people in my organization that aren't on this call are capable of doing more. Because, I believe every one of them can be presidential directors. So that's my goal. So that means what are we doing in 2014? We're going to try to break new presidential directors. My goal is two more presidential directors for my organization. So it's always about doing more, stepping in and doing something. And in order to do more, we have to do different. So today's call is about some basic mistakes that are classic and done over and over and over again. And they usually come out of our neglect, our laziness, our inattentiveness to details. That's what triggers us to fall into those traps. Because we are in a home-based business, that means we report to ourselves. That means that no one's going to fire us if we decide to be sloppy or lazy or do things. And guess what? But the problem is no one has to fire us because we'll end up firing ourselves because we won't have a job. We won't have a business to run. And if you're in this to run it as a business and make money at it and be successful and help us truly end global malnutrition, then we want to take significant action and thoughtful, planned, direct action that creates results. So here we go. Everybody ready? Step one, handing out business cards for no reason. I love it. People get out there and they order these business cards, and there are beautiful business cards out there. In fact, right now I have two business cards. I have one that's just about, Manitech and M5M, and it's got a beautiful picture of the child on the back of the card, and it sends people to my M5M site, and it's a really neat card, and it's about, the Manitech product, M5M, and nutrition. And I have a second card that's exclusively for youth. So I have these two cards. Now, the problem is that if I just hand them out to people that I meet, I'm in trouble because there's no what? What's the core thing that you are all about in this business? Building relationships. So never in the world should you hand out a card without building a relationship. So it's not, and some people go, well, I met this person, you know, and I handed her a card. And this is exactly what happened, and I'm not, you know, this may be a person that's listening. There, I have a relatively brand new person who just kicked off and said she's all in on doing the business. And so I told her, I said, you can't leave the house. This is a great standard you might apply to some of your new people if you're coaching. You, every time you leave the house, you must share Manatech with at least three people. Or don't come home. Now, that's a tough standard, isn't it? But it's a wonderful standard because it forces people to go out there and share. Now, they don't have to give the Manatech story. They just have to get somewhere with somebody, either come back with a lead, a referral, or whatever, with from at least three people. Otherwise, don't come home. So you cannot park that car back in the garage without finding those leads. So anyway, so it forces people to be in the I'm prospecting mode. And so this person, the first coaching call I had with her after she did this, she said, she goes, you know, Mary Jo, I went to the grocery store and I was standing in line and I gave my card to a person. I said, oh, really? Well, why don't you tell me about the conversation? And she goes, well, I just turned around and I looked at her and she looked, her face was almost like a baby face. She looked so young. I said, so what did you say to her? She goes, I asked her how old she was. And I started giggling a little bit because I thought, well, it's kind of, you know, how old are you? No. You know, it's kind of one of those questions you don't usually normally ask people. It's not one of those break the ice type questions, right? So I kind of smiled, and I was, but it's wonderful because she's just striking out and doing this, and I love her energy, her enthusiasm. So I said, so what did she tell you? And she said, well, she told me she was 21 and da da da. And I said, man, you don't look older than 10. And then I gave her one of my cards, and I said, that was it. Yeah, she said, I told her this is something she might be interested in. And I went, okay, so let's analyze that. So it's a classic case of doing exactly this mistake. You're handing out a business card for no reason. Well, you can say, well, Mary Jo, but it was a reason. I said maybe you'll be interested in this. Stop it. If that's what you're doing, if I just describe some of the activities that you're involved in, you ask a person one question and then you hand them a card, stop it. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of their time. The likelihood of you ever hearing from that person is one in a zillion. It is a waste. And you think you're doing the business. When you are out and about and you're doing lifestyle marketing, you don't meet people and hand them a card. What you want to do is you want to get to know the person. Find out about them. Build a relationship. It's about relationship building, right? And sometimes you don't have a lot of time. So sometimes it's a little briefer than other times. So sometimes it might look like, you know, you're in a line let's say the mail, if you go to the post office like we do so often, you go to the post office and you're in line and you're waiting for somebody and you might just talk about the weather, you might talk about the guy's tie or something like that, and you say, you know, I haven't seen you here before. Are you from around this area? Or you might introduce yourself. I'm Mary Jo Hilliker, and your name? Oh, I'm Tom. Yeah, I go, hey, Tom, great to meet you. I said, are you from around here? I haven't seen you in this post office before. No, I just kind of moved in town and then I said, really? Great, yeah. I said, where are you from? He said, you know, where you came from. And I go, you know what? I have a great, like, home base. I don't know if you're looking for a home-based business, but if you're looking to make some part-time income, a couple extra $1,000 a month on a part-time basis, I'd love to meet with you and talk to you about it. Now, see the difference in the whole thing. I introduced myself. I met him. I found out where he was from. I'm building relationship. And then if he says, yeah, I might be interested in taking a look at it, it's great. So I'll hand him. I'll say, do you have a card? First, I want his information. So if you hand the card out, you never get their information. That's the last you'll ever see of it. So what do you need to do? You have to understand that the most important part of a card is to get their information, not them have your information. All right? So I could hand them a card, but I want him to give me his information. So I would prefer your use of your card to turn it over on the backside if it's empty and write their name and contact information. That's the most important information you get from meeting somebody is their contact information. So you control the next connection, because otherwise the next connection may never happen. So what do you want at minimum? Their name and telephone number. Minimum, name and telephone number. Minimum, name and telephone number. That's minimum. That's my preference. I don't sit there and ask them for their name, address, age, you know, weight, height. No, it's just minimal information because you have a short period of time. So that's what you want to get from them. All right? And then you can, then you have the connectedness, the chance. Now, this is where Sarah Robbins' training came in so big for me. So now I have a whole new approach. Not only do I ask for their name and I say, by the way, are you on social media? Are you on Facebook by any chance? And they might say, yes, great, great. Here, let me, and I hook it up and I go, here, why don't you, can you sign in here just as one of my friends so we can keep in touch? They go, great. They can always defriend me. They can always shoot. They know their options. They're not giving their life away. But it's my way of being able to get them now connected with me on an ongoing basis in case I call them three times and they don't answer the phone, because that happens too. But at least I've captured their connectiveness because they're now a friend of mine on Facebook. Follow me? I love that idea. Sarah Robbins called it a million-dollar tip, and I think she's right. Again, remember, you're only looking for three or four people that finally grab onto this and say, I want this for my life, I want this for my family, I want it for my world, and they run with it. And now you have presidential status. But you've got to capture all these people because you've got to siphon through and find out who's the one that's committed. And maybe they're not in the licking zone today. That's why you want them as a friend on Facebook. But 3 months from now, when the job falls through, maybe they're going to start looking. Because they'll remember, this woman told me $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Well, if I can make $2,000 to $3,000 a month in a short period of time, I said, I'm willing to work my butt off to do that because that'll help sustain me, even if I decide to go back and get another, you know, job somewhere else. But it'll at least give me what I love about it is $2,000 to $3,000 a month can give people a ton of financial security that they don't have today. And that I like more. I love the ring of that, financial security. Because there's not a lot, there's a lot of people without a lot of that in our world today. Okay, does that make sense? So everybody get it? So, always build relationship. Because if you don't build relationship, you'll never take a step further, right? So you want people to remember you. It's kind of like, and I put in the outline today too, the same thing, that if you remember coming home from events and having 25 cards and you can't even remember the people you got them from, do you want to be one of those cards yourself in somebody else's pocket? That's what I'm asking you. You don't want that to happen to you, so you don't want it to happen to other people. All right? So make sure you make an impact on people. And one of the great ways of making an impact is that you're kind of a shining light out there, right? And that gets into what we're going to cover in number two. So, but the first one, handing out your business card for no reason is always the worst possible thing. I compare you to somebody that goes in a parking lot and puts your flyer under everybody's windshield wiper, you know, or put your business card under everybody's windshield wiper. What a waste of money and effort and energy. It's just a waste. And you go, well, Mary Jo, I just need one. So you're going to spend 4 hours putting flyers or cards on a thing and you get not one call back, but it took you 4 hours of your time. I guarantee you I can find one person. If you give me 4 hours out today, I will find somebody to sign up. I'll probably find 20 leads, and out of the 20, you know, I'll be able to get some people signed up. And I'd rather do it that way and build 20 relationships than do it away by building a relationship with windshield wipers. Doesn't work for me, and it won't work for you. So always have a good reason to exchange information with somebody, whether it's get back in touch with them so you can meet in the future, send them some more information they have interest in, to make an introduction to somebody or something else, or to add to a mailing list. Whatever it is, you've got to have a reason. Number two, what's the other mistake we make? Not being likable. You know, some of us, and this is classic, some of us love to go out in the world and we meet somebody new and the first thing we want to do is complain about Obamacare, or we want to complain about, you know, XYZ, or we want to there's so many things that people want to complain about today. They just want to complain. But just for the sake of, you know what, that's the last thing people really want to mess with. You can get into your pity parties with people, but that doesn't take our country forward. It doesn't take you forward. People like to be around people who are positive because they'd rather be positive than negative. Have you ever seen that about people? And here, and some of you will go, well, Mary Jo, but I meet some people and they love to be negative. And I go, great. Let me ask you a question about negative people. Do you think they have much of a chance of becoming a presidential director in Manatech? See, this is another incredible way of understanding who's most likely to succeed. Who's most likely to succeed in this type of business is somebody that's very positive, very optimistic, and knows that they know that they know the world's going to work out terrific for them. That's the person that's likely to succeed, because you know what? They have such a belief system around it, they're going to create it. Because I truly, totally believe that as a man thinketh, so is he. And why do I believe that? Because it's happened over and over and over again in my life. Where I have believed something that strongly, it has come to fruition and happened. And that includes a $1 million check, right? Do you get that? When I believe something so significantly, it happens. I have no idea. I know who creates it. Not me. It's our creator who creates it. But I totally get that as we believe and as we think, that's what we create. So if somebody is negative, what are they going to create? So you being negative, great, you're opening up space to attract what kind of people? Negative people. So, and for the people who are positive, the ones that you want in your organization who are going to create massive results for you, they don't want anything to do with you. You're going to be rejecting them. So it's never, ever a good thing to complain about the economy, a tough year, your politics, your clients, the system, pretty much anything else. It's another reason in network marketing, one of the first things I remember my upline taught me, she said, Mary Jo, when you ever want to be negative, go up. Take everything positive, go down. In other words, when you work with your people in your organization, always be positive, always be uplifting, always be grateful. Come from that heart of one. If you have an issue that's really troubling you, call your upline. But never take it to your downline. And most of us don't get that. We want to take it to our organization because we want them to agree with us and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's you don't need to form pity parties. And for a company like Manatech, where everything's coming up roses now, I mean, we have a phenomenal product. The whole scientific world says, we made one of the best discoveries that have happened in 100 years in glyconutrient technology. The whole scientific industry is telling us that. We have this incredible product called Youth that's totally transforming people's faces and naturally helping to rebuild dermis. I mean, we have all this going on for us, and we sit back and we want to complain about, well, I think Manatech could have done this better, right? You know, golly. I don't want to hear about it. I mean, you can send it to me if I'm your upline, and I'll take care of it. I'll forward it on. I'll go to the people I know at Manatech that could do some things about it. But don't take it to your downline. Take it to your upline. We can resolve problems, and don't let it stop you or discourage you, because there's so much greatness that you have to take forward. So take greatness. Now, let's talk about greatness. When you're out there and you're this little light bulb, do you think you're an attractor factor? Absolutely. People want to be around you. They love it. Let me talk to you a little bit of my church experience. So I love my church. I go around and during visitation, I never get back to my seat until we're halfway into the sermon. Well, apparently after a few months of that, my pastor and his wife weren't really thrilled with my loving on people because they felt I was interfering with their worship. Though I don't know about that, because I think when somebody's loving on you, hugging you, and saying, how are you? Is there something I can pray for you about? You know, and I think those are big things, aren't they? But they didn't want me to really do that much more, and they were kind of like commenting about maybe Mary Jo, hey, I know everybody loves you, and they love getting hugged. And so my husband had a great idea, put me in the choir loft. So now you can't be, you know, during visitation. So I had to go visit before we even start our church service, and now I'm in the choir loft. You can't imagine how many people come up to me, people I don't even know. We had some new members just join yesterday, and we had a meeting on our Brazil trip to go on the mission field this year, and I headed that up, so I was running that trip. And there's a gal, Sarah Terry, that was brand new in our church, and she came up to me afterwards. She goes, I said, Sarah, nice to meet you. I'm so happy. And she goes, I love you in the choir. She just, I mean, it was just because I was just, I'm a light bulb. You know, it's an attractor factor. It's somebody that's positive, it's joyful, it's loving, and that's what we want to be. That's the attractor factor. People want that in their life. Even if they can't see it, they want it. Even if they don't have it, they don't. They want. I mean, everybody, they want to be around positive people that are positive thinking, that think that everything's, you know, the world's full of opportunity. That's what you want to be. So be likable. Be likable. And that doesn't mean be so, you know, one of the things I had to learn about me was I couldn't be excessively effervescent because I have a problem with that because I'm so enthusiastic. Sometimes I overwhelm people with the enthusiasm. So I had to quash a little bit about that. When I'm around people, I can't let that all out. I can't totally be myself, which would be standing on top of tables and, you know, preaching at the top of my voice and or teaching, as we say. And I can't do those kind of things because that's not, you know, that shuts some people down. So when you learn the personality quadrants, you learn how to take your personality and fit it within the other quadrants so you can totally interact with people in the different quadrants. But that's part of being likable is one of the things you want to do is, hey, if you don't understand the personality quadrants, write that down as one of the things you want to educate yourself on. It helped save my marriage. That's kind of important, right? It helps me magnanimously in my changing environments, my foundation I have, where I coach families. I mean, it's just made a huge difference in my life. But it's one of those things that will help you be more likable with no matter who comes into your life, no matter what quadrant they're in, you'll become more likable. So other ways to be more likable is expressing, you know, not being a braggart. You don't have to brag about who you are, what you made in Manitech, what you... I mean, that never comes up unless people ask me. I never mention it. They can say, well, how successful have you been in Manitech? I said, oh, you know, the Lord's really blessed me. It's been a tremendous blessing. They said, it's helped me send, you know, my niece and nephew through college. It's helped me build a foundation, start a foundation. It's helping me build churches in Brazil now. I said, it's been a blessing. So I talk about the things I'm doing, not how much money I make or have made, you know. And it's just, so it's fun to talk about those things. The things that you can do, I like to talk about, rather than talk about a new house, stay-at-home dad, all these kind of, I'd rather talk about the things I can, it allows me to do. Because I think that's, because that's my value system. I think money only makes you more of who you are because it allows you to do more of what you're committed to doing. What are you committed to creating in this world? And that's the greatness about what money can help people do. But show humility. Be excited about their achievements, not yours. So that's why you want to be effervescent about other people's achievements. And how you find out, you want to, this is a major thing, ask more questions about those you meet. Be interested. If you're the more interested, don't be so excited about being interesting because no one will want to deal with you. That means, braggart, it's all about you. If you want to be interesting, the way to be interesting to others is to be interested in them. So show tremendous interest in other people, and they will walk away and think you were the most fascinating person they met. Why? Because you cared. Remember that famous saying that we have, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So be likable. Be likable. That's important to us. Stay away from negativity. Stay away from braggadocious. Be interested in other people. And just be that light bulb in their light so they go, wow, I'd love to be around, spend more time with her. That's what you want people to say. When they walk away, you'd love the people to say, I'd love to spend more time with her. I'd love to see what makes her tick. I'd love to be, you know, learn what she knows. That's what you want people to say. Number three, going to the wrong event. How many of us on this call today have signed up to go to some event, whether it was an art fair, a home and you know, home improvement show, whether it's a bridal shower, whether it's whatever it is. We've signed up to go to events. And we get there and they turn out to be a disaster for us. How many of us? I bet you anyone on this call who's been in Manitech for more than 12 months has gone to a quote-unquote wrong event. And so That's exactly one of the things is we there, and why is it, you know, is it part of our learning process? Of course, we learn through that, and some of us have to go through those steps because we just don't want to ask the right questions. We don't want to find people who are successful. We don't want to read books about successful people and get great hints from them. We rather like recreate the wheel for ourselves because we're know-it-alls, and we feel like our judgment's best. Trust me, I can talk about that. Because from a personal experience, I went through it. I came into this business as a lawyer. I thought I was so intelligent. I knew everything. I watched those people cross the stage who didn't know very much at all, and I thought, wow, this will be easy for me because look at what I've achieved already in my life, right? So the arrogance took over, and, of course, I fell flat on my face. 6 months later, I surrendered, and I decided start from scratch, learn. Learn what it takes. And one of my favorite books, a lot of you know, is that book by John Kalinch. If How To's Were, no, not that one, that's Clemmer. It's How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. It's a terrific, it became like my Bible for my business. I learned so much from him. I would have to, if somebody said, who had the most impact on your business, number one would be John Kalinch, and a close second to that would be Brian Clemmer. And you know, one is the How To's and one is the personal development. And they are equivalently important, personal development even more so in terms of who I am as a person today, but, you know, the how-tos were critically important as well. So I think you need both, and it's important for us to know that. But some of us are going to keep going to wrong events because we're still not going to trust other people's judgment around it. So and I think we can make a wrong event into a right event by preparation, and we're going to talk about that later. That's another point. But the idea is they're going to be certain events that really don't make sense for you to go to. And so you have to, first of all, you want to do an analysis of what kind of event it is. Who's going to be there? Will there be many chances for you to interact with people, or will it be so busy with things that you'll just be running around picking up cards? How many of you do that? You go to an event and you just stop by each booth and you pick up the person's card, and then you send them an email when you get home. And how many responses do you get? Zero. Zero. If they don't remember you, they didn't meet you, they didn't have face-to-face, there wasn't some interaction, there wasn't, guess what? Psh, they're not at an event to find out how to do network marketing for somebody else or join a network marketing company. They're there because they have their own wares they're selling or their own business they're promoting, whatever it might be. So you can go there and make connections, but you got to, again, that's going to be building relationships. So there's ways of going to the wrong event. There's also ways of being wrong at an event. So you're just doing the wrong things. So you want to find out, analyze each event, find out who typically goes there, and you go, well, how do I find out that information? Contact the people that are selling the entries. Find out who's there, what kind of people go there, what kind of people attend, what has your history been. I had somebody call me the other day, and they said, you know what, Mary Jo, we can have a booth at this fair that's going on, da-da-da-da, and and I said, really? Well, how long has the fair been going on? And they go, I don't know. And I go, really? Why don't you find out some information and maybe find out how many people typically attend? And I mean, they couldn't give me any information. So they got back to me, and they said, well, this is the second year of the event, and last year they had attendance of about 100 people over the weekend, but they're growing it. And I go, oh, great. So do you want to spend 2.5 days and $800 on a booth at this event that's, you know, had 100 people show up last year and it's brand new? Or do you think you have better places to spend that time and energy? You follow me? But if they wouldn't have looked behind it, analyze it. Find the details behind it so you're not going to the wrong event. And then when you go to event, you got to make sure that you're going to event and you know how to behave at the event. I always tell people, always set a purpose, set a goal, put some scripts in place. How am I going to interact with people? What's my goal? Ask as many questions as possible, not be a teller. Telling comes later. It's a great, Bob Berg was terrific at this. He talked about how to build a massive business, and, you know, his whole thing was breaking the ice. You'd go walk in a room and find the people that have the most people gathered around them and get to know them and see how you can help them. See how you can help them. And when you get in the mode of helping other people and you start giving them referrals, guess what happens? And it might take you 2 months. Most of us are too impatient. We don't want to wait 2 months. But why can't you have those people in your mill at the same time as you have people that you're doing presentations for? because they don't take a lot of work. It's not a lot of time and effort. They're people that you're building. You call them your, these are the people I'm building relationship with. These are the people that I'm doing presentations for. Can't we have two different categories? This is something I never understood. So I think it's part of what we need to understand. So make sure that you understand that when you go to these events, too, because then you'll find that maybe that it wasn't a wrong event. I just went there with the wrong attitude and wrong preparation. The reason we want to avoid going to wrong events is why? Because as you go through this business, every time you experience a failure, what happens is most people will immediately go into, this will not work, or it won't work for me. And we start getting this, and I coach so many people that that's their number one roadblock, is they don't believe in success for themselves. And I say, why? What evidence do you have that that's going to happen? And then they start talking to me about an event they went to and they didn't get one contact. And I said, okay, so did you evaluate the event? Or they talk about some people they talked to that didn't want to get started. I go, great. So maybe they weren't in the looking zone. Why does that mean, say, reflect anything about you? Are there always going to be people that are more persuasive than you on the face of the earth? Yes. We all didn't get born with the personality of Jet or, you know, some of the, or Ray Robbins. Or, I mean, we're not made the same way. But there are also people that those kind of people aren't going to ever attract that we can attract. Does that make sense? So don't compare yourself to somebody else. Just improve. Work on you. When you improve, your business improves. When you stay stagnant, your business stays stagnant. So evaluate where you are in that realm right now. Am I green and growing and improving? Am I getting better at what I, am I getting coached? Am I reading good books? Am I taking a good book and applying it in my life, not just reading it for the sake of saying I read it, right? All these things, all right? Number four mistake, being in the sales mode. Oh, this is one of the worst. People can sniff that out a mile. My one question I have for people always is, do you like being sold? And if you say yes, then go ahead, keep being in sales mode. But I don't know anyone who likes being sold. But I know everyone who likes to find new friends. Everybody likes to find new friends. I shouldn't say everybody. There are exceptions to that, but those are people that, you know what, they're probably not going to make your best man attackers. So you might, or business partners. So you might want to consider, that's not where I'm going to spend my time and attention. So we spend our time and attention with people who like to have a good sphere of influence, like to build new friendships, because why? Because then we can tap into their sphere of influence. So don't be a salesy mode. Ask people to talk about the mission. That's one thing you can do. But our whole goal is out there. I always tell people the opening premise I learned my first year after I stumbled was this is a need fulfillment business. If I can find a person's need, guess what? Now I can create something great and help them create something better because I can help them solve their need. And now I'm a support system for them. I'm not selling them anything. They're choosing into it because they have a need and they want it solved. It's a totally different perspective than what you're doing when you're out there selling. So stay out of selling mode. People will turn their backs and run the opposite direction. Number five, being unprepared. This is one of our worst. One of our worst. We go to events, and then we come out of events, and we go, wow, you know what? If I only would have had this, this, and this, I could have been better. I should have had this. I should have done this. I should have, would have, could have. You know what? I hate those words. I don't even have them in my vocabulary. I refuse to use them in my vocabulary because they're garbage words. All they are is terms of regret. I don't live a life in regret. I live a life in gratitude. So to live a life in gratitude is what you want to choose. But to stay out of the regretful mode, we just need to take a little bit more serious action and be more prepared. Like the Boy Scout motto, be prepared, right? When you go to an event, you want to make sure you do all these things. I gave you a whole series of questions that came out of the article, which are terrific. So you have everything down pat. You're not just freewheeling at an event. You just don't show up. You have an idea of who am I going to approach? How am I going to talk to them? What am I going to say? You know, what does my scripting need to look like? How do I find out about them? How do I get more information? You know, how do I do all of that? Do it. Remember, when you go to an event, some of you guys go to events, like you'll go to a home and garden show, and you'll come back and you go, Mary Jo, I did a great job. I got 35 new contacts. I go, really? How in the world were you at a home and garden show for 2 hours and you built a relationship with 35 people? Good question, isn't it? Now, could you run around and pick up cards off of 35 tables?
Yeah.
I'm talking about building a relationship with people. That's what you're there to do. So go and do that, right? And figure out what you're going to say, who's going to be there, how you're going to react with them, who are most likely, all those kind of things you want to do. So be prepared. When you leave the house today, be prepared. How many have you gotten some places and you went and dug in your purse and you didn't have a business card? Oh, my gosh. That should never, ever happen, ever. You should have business cards with you everywhere you go. And the number one purpose for them is to turn them over on the back so you can write down the other person's contact information. The second purpose is so that they have your contact information as well, right? So be prepared. Number six, lacking focus. And this is critical for us as well. You want to be very focused. The more focused you are, if you're flighty, if you don't know what you're doing there, some of you go to events and you don't even know what you're doing there. Some of you meet people and you forget why you're even meeting with them. Some of you are out there, you know, we tend to be an ADD society because we get bombarded with 101 things every moment. This massive amount of technology is a big issue for a lot of us. Even though we're not diagnosed ADD, our tendencies are we operate that way because we're almost forced in it by this bombardment of information. Information age, right? That's where we are. Get bombarded. So you got to know how to siphon through it and get through it. So we need to stay on focus. It's one of the things, and this is one of my big issues this year. It's a big issue for 2014, for Lydia and I and our business. It's about what are we going to do differently? One of the key factors was focus. Keep the focus because we can easily get diverted because there's so many things out there. How many of you feel the same way? Right. There's so many things on our platter. There's so many issues out there, and especially when you're trying to run a real estate business, a mission field business, a changing environment in my foundation. I mean, I got so many things in your life, and I'm no different than any. We're all the same. We all have different things that we have to do, different levels of responsibility with respect to them, but we all have a panoply of things in our life because we're all committed to living a fulfilled life. So the idea is remaining focused is crucial. Otherwise, we'll do a lot of things in a mediocre way instead of doing major things in an absolutely terrific way. And one of the major things you want to do in a terrific way is your Manatech business, right? So you want to be very focused. You want to be focusing on who are you looking for. This is part of the focus of what am I really looking for when I'm prospecting? Understanding who I'm looking for as a business builder. I'm looking for dynamic people. I mean, today when I'm out there, my nose is just sniffing. It's like I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that have a large sphere of influence. They're intelligent. They love to be around people. They have a heart and passion to help people, and they're not afraid. They have no fear. That's the kind of people I want. When I find a person like that, I look at them and I'm going, I want her in my business. So then I have a target. She's got a target on her back or he's got a target on his back, and I do what it needs to take to pursue that. And it doesn't matter if they say no to me. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. Does that mean I want to still maintain a friendship with them? Because they may say no today, but, you know, they're not in the looking zone today. But 3 months from now, after they get to know me better and they get to see my activities, maybe they're going to be more interested, right? Yeah. So keep focused. Keep focused on who you're looking for, where you're going after, right? And so those are the six things. I think they're terrific. I think, you know, they're terrific for me. They're a great reminder. And I've been in this industry for a lot of years. But they're terrific for you as a brand new person. They're terrific for those of you who've been in it 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. We can learn from this and just look at those six areas and say, where do I need to get better? Which ones are these mistakes do I continue to make? And I love this. I love this whole thing, this statement that Tony Jerry, Lydia brought it up. She says, Mary Jo, I think it applies to, because she helps me when I prepare the outline. She, you know, goes through it and organizes it, puts the announcements on. She goes, I found this quote from Tony Jerry. I loved it. It said, the best way to achieve extraordinary results is to become intentional about being strategic in all areas of your life. I think it's a great quote. So let's all kick off 2014. We're almost at the end of January. We're in the third month of the Punta Cana, you know, incentive program, which all of you still are capable of winning, no matter where you are. Let's be intentional about being strategic in all areas of our life. That means focused. It means about being prepared. And it's about taking intentional actions, not seat of the pants. Okay, everybody? Great. All right, super. Anyone have any comments before we close for the day? Anyone else feel like some of those kind of hit home for you? And I hit one of them, two of them? How many were taking notes?
I have a question.
Sure.
When you're out at those fairs and you meet people and get those cards, how do you remember the strategic information about that person?
I write it on the back of their card.
Right then?
The minute I walk away from a booth, I can sometimes I write 4 or 5 sentences down. I have a little notepad in my purse as well where I take all the notes. So I met Sharon at this booth, you know, because I don't have a stapler to staple the card to it. But I met Sharon at this booth. She has 2 kids. She got married 3 years ago. They're trying to make it work. And, you know, so I write all that stuff down.
Yeah, okay.
So you can carry a little bit of notepad in your purse that you just pop that out. As soon as you get done with the booth, write that down. Got it?
Yep.
That is the most important information you get, is their personal information. Because personal information builds a relationship.
Through some of my contacts, and I thought, I don't even remember who this person is.
Wow.
I didn't.
Because you can keep track of what that was, what the interaction was with that person. And that's exactly what happens to people that go to these shows, is they just go around and they just feel so excited about walking out with 35 cards. And I go, that means nothing. What I walk out with is I typically, when I go to a show or I went to the state fair and I went into that arena, I might come out with 20 cards, but they're 3 diamonds in that stack of cards. The other 17 are people that I might have interacted with. I didn't, you know, it went this way or that way, and they're a long shot. But you know what? If I put them on my man-a-mail list and I send them a note once in a while, maybe they'll develop a net. But there's 3 diamonds that would be perfect for my business.
But you take notes on all 20 of them?
All 20 of them.
Yeah, okay.
Because here's a standard for you. If I didn't spend enough time talking to them, or I didn't spend enough time, finding out information about them, so I didn't take notes, guess what? All they are is just another name I can find out of a phone booth. I mean, a phone book. I mean, it's no different, right? So there has to be a reason for me to want to follow up with them other than that I have their card. There has to be something more there, or I don't, because I didn't do my job. My job is not to collect cards. It's to collect relationships. Yeah. Anyone else? And sometimes they pan out, sometimes they don't. You know, the idea is that this doesn't guarantee, it doesn't guarantee you anything. I worked with one man and a woman that were selling quilts. I loved them. I bought some for Christmas presents one year. It wasn't this past year, the year before. I bought them as Christmas presents. I even helped them get into some other events because I had some connections, and I met them for a Starbucks for a cup of coffee or something. I introduced what I did. And, you know, they never joined my business, but it didn't matter. Because I always look at it like this. I don't always know what the purpose is of these people in my life. Maybe it's for me to bless them in a different way. But I have multitude ways of doing that. But you know what? They're still on my list. They still get emails from me once in a while. And it might be that a year from now, they join me. But I have a relationship with them. Does that make sense? They know I bent over backwards to help them out. And they still are probably in the back of their mind going, why did she do this? Right? They may not, you know, it's just because I want to help people, and that's what you want to leave with people. So sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, but you still invest time and energy into people that are potential, that fit the bill of who am I looking for, who's got a sphere of influence, how can I develop this into a business with them, right? Good. Okay, everybody. Yeah, I know a lot of you go to events, so, you know, you want to maximize your results. Otherwise, you're just running around with your head chopped off, and sometimes you feel that way, then do something different.
Mary Jo, I have one question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there's various charities that are having like art and wine fairs and things. Would you recommend donating like a firm, not a firm, but a youth and some information about that as one of their things for auctioning?
Yeah, I love to do that because you become, here's what it does. If you get to find out who wins it, that's terrific because then you can follow up with the person and help them with it, trying on the first product, and they could become a long-term consumer of yours or even maybe a business builder. Number two, it helps you with the people that are running the charity because now you get to know them because you're a donator. Now you build a relationship with the people running the charity, the whole event, and they could potentially become some of your biggest business builders. So don't always think about who's going to be at the event, but who are the ones organizing the event? Because those people already are showing you something in life, aren't they? They're showing you that they're business-like, they're organized, they're committed, they have a heart. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So you already kind of, you have a little checklist of what kind of person do I want to have be in business with. People organizing those kind of things are volunteer. A lot of them are volunteers, and they just have super hearts. And, wow, wouldn't you love to bless their lives with making an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month on a part-time basis that could help support them in doing more of the charity work that they so thrive on, right? Yeah. So absolutely. So it's not just about exposure, but it's exposure with the right kind of people too, the people that are actually, you know, behind the event. Anyone else? Great. Okay, people, good luck with what you're doing out there. I just lift you up in prayer, and I just know that we as a group can go out there and help change this world. And, of course, we're changing it in so many ways today. That's the excitement of being M5M and all that is just exhilarating to me, continues to be. And I keep thinking and I keep reminding myself, and if you need it every day, then do it. But, you know, I do so many presentations today that in my social entrepreneur presentation, I play the video of Muhammad Yunus. And every day, every time I see him and every time I show that presentation for people, tears come to my eyes when he makes the statement, and I'm paraphrasing it so it's not exact accurate, but he says, when I could do so little, and it brought so much happiness to so many, why wouldn't I do it more? And that's all I'm suggesting to you. What we do every day is really so little, and it could bring so much happiness to so many people. Why wouldn't you do it more? We have the tools, so let's go out and make that difference. Okay, everybody, I'll talk to you, I will talk to you next Monday. You won't be able to ask questions because you're going to hear a pre-recorded call, and then the week after I'll definitely be on because I'll be back in town for that short period, and you'll hear a wrap-up of what goes on in Hawaii, which I always love giving all you guys so you know what happened at the presidential summit, and then I'll be off to the races. But so have a great couple of weeks. Let's get out there and make it happen. Don't forget Punta Cana. We want to try to help bottom up, find those people in our organization that want to win the trip and support them 1,000%. And guess what? You just by accident win it. So that's the way I love doing this trip. So go after it, help others, and it'll help yourself. And that's true about everything in life. You always are rewarded when you help other people. All right, people, love you all. Have a great week. Talk soon.